Awesome. Hey, Tyler.
Hi.
You were inspiring some revelations for Grant with your storage
Yes,
there.
So what's happening?
Oh, I love that you have the arcade basketball hoop set up. It's one of those things I have never allowed myself, but I could just buy it. I could have it tomorrow from Amazon if I wanted, and I think I might.
Now you gotta have a kid first
Oh,
that
okay.
you don't want to see for a while.
Okay, fair enough. Does your kid have a wet jumper?
I'm sorry, what?
Does he have a nice? Is he like Steph Curry in there?
Oh,
Oh,
okay.
it's a basketball thing.
It's not creeping on your kid.
Yeah.
No, don't let my high score on that machine fool you. I have no idea about basketball.
Yeah. No, I
But
was.
I get,
Yeah.
I'll crush a 5-year-old's dreams, you
Hell
know?
yeah, dude.
Sure. I was confused too. I was like, what? So wait, Grant, has Tyler not potty trained his child? Is that what you're asking?
Roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, Stab's team of comedy scientists commissioned
hand-me-down
three
sound to
specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they will now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called Stab.
This is Stab, now officially 11 years old, meaning we're old enough to buy and shoot a six-pack of beer in the South. Let's introduce tonight's panel. Our first panelist likes to count to 11 using just most of his toes. He's an award-winning filmmaker. It's Nick Coleman.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for the golf clap.
Sure.
My girlfriend.
Our second panelist once placed 11th in a Disney karaoke contest while trapped aboard a Princess Cruise. He's a member of One Fall Improv. It's Grant Potter. And our third panelist knows 11 ways to kill a man with common household objects, so long as all 11 of them are common household guns. He's Stab's favorite son. It's Tyler Kinney.
Hi, everyone.
And I'm your host, Jesse Jones, just as surprised as you that we still have new dumb things to say 11 years in. Welcome to the Stab Show, here to guide you home Saturday nights at 11 p.m. on KUTZ 103.1 FM or cutsfm.org. Just tune us in and your drive back home from the bar will be 300% more enjoyable. Now, let's meet tonight's panel. Nick, hi there.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How are you?
I'm just living several dreams.
Several dreams at
oh,
once.
Yeah. Yeah. So much.
Right
I wish
on, man.
I could pare them back.
Yeah.
Just one dream would be
Spare
good.
Spare a little. Come on. I can use some dream.
No. All the dreams for me.
No. All right. Fine.
Yeah. How are things?
Things are good. Things are good.
I hear a creative endeavor might be on the horizon.
Creative endeavor might be on the horizon. I'm trying co-writing with a friend Josh, coworker Jeff.
Okay.
We kind of met to kick a project around and it kind of worked. And so I think I got another short film on the horizon.
Nice.
It's been a couple years. It's been a lot of years since the project wasn't through the class I was teaching.
Sure. Sure. But you know what? Sometimes you need that built-in sort of discipline of a thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I totally
it definitely helped
that.
To keep me going.
Yeah.
During COVID.
This is the only thing that's kept me writing for 11 years.
I know.
So
yeah.
Otherwise, I don't have an outlet.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're a no bullshit award-winning auteur.
Yeah. So yeah, yeah. I was.
Well, they didn't
they strip the award.
Yeah, I was going to say they didn't take it back.
Yeah, there's an
asterisk. You got Reggie Bush.
I was high on stuff and they just took it away. But no, yeah. Won a few awards. Yeah.
And you've had scripts turned into audio theater most recently?
Yeah, through my friends at First Read Radio. They turned one of my scripts, The Clerk and the Coxman, that didn't come out good, into a 30-minute kind of ear movie, like Black Table used to do with theirs, but or Blacklist Table Reads used to do, but short-form variety instead of feature length.
For sure.
And they're doing a second one, which is probably going to take them like another year. So I don't even.
Well,
yeah.
Still.
But I'm excited about this one. It's sort of like a, still a comedy, but it's sort of like a heavy metal fantasy thing, which I always kind of want to write, but
nice.
Never did. And called Decapitator. So I'm excited to see what they do with the soundscape for that one and the voice acting and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Going to be a lot of juicy sound effects.
Yeah.
In something called Decapitator.
Mm-hmm. It's a guitar called Decapitator. Nice. That is also an axe.
Well, obviously.
That also shoots lightning.
Well, I mean, you've got it all there.
You got to give.
Stop drilling, Nick Coleman. You've already struck oil. thank you, sir. Good to have you. Looking forward to Decapitator.
I know.
It's the axe guitar that shoots lightning. Grant, hi there.
Hello.
How are you?
Good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, good to hear.
I think I might have exhausted my pre-show patter.
Oh, I thought we stopped something so that we would focus on it here.
Here's one thing I've noticed, though.
Yes.
Even though it's been years of COVID and I've known how Zoom works, I still, to look at Tyler in the eye, will look up at the screen and not at the camera.
Well,
I've still lost, like, the basic. I don't know the basic concept of cameras.
Well, but to be fair, you can't see him looking over there.
That's true.
Again, so it's,
we should put up a little.
I'll get more monitors in here.
Need more over there.
Yes. One of these days, there's going to be a monitor there with just the chat. It's going to be a whole thing.
Oh, beautiful.
You're going to be able to see yourself being heckled in real time.
Yes.
I don't know what I'm doing. Well, cool. So you're a improviser about town.
Yes.
Doing
perform
stuff
here. One Fall Improv. Yeah. Good show. We do improv based on wrestling. If you like WWE, comedy spot. I do Murder You Wrote, Murder Mystery. So go see that.
Yeah.
All good stuff.
Cool. Cool. Yeah. That all we got going on. It seems you got more stuff.
When
going.
You put it that way, push, too, isn't very much.
I
no.
No.
No. No. No.
I just see Grant Potter all
document
over the place.
This is a improv show. We make up a fake documentary, and that's like once a month or so.
Yeah. I knew there was more. See, don't hold out on us.
That's right.
Multi microphone experience. Yes. Well, cool. Good to have you. Good to have you back. Yes, there was a little bit of a booking tag, but that happens.
That's okay.
It's the nature of the beast.
Yeah.
No. I'm not very good with getting back to people, and so you're fine. Hey, you're
enough.
Oh, thanks. Hey, Tyler.
Hi, Jesse.
Tyler with that drippy stroke.
What?
Wet shot. Good to have you, Tyler. Okay, so I had to abruptly stop you from getting into the Dadgrass band. Happening? It's happening?
I don't know. I got a text like 2 weeks ago from a guy I never met. He said, I hear you play upright bass. Anyway, so, but it's a nice... it's a nice reprieve. Like, everyone seems like normal and they have like jobs and like,
okay,
they're not like criminals like the last band I auditioned for. Yeah. Where the guy pulled his shirt up and showed me a stab wound like that happened the week prior.
Oh, man. You know, but I think we did cover that. You know, you're lining yourself up for a quality outlaw country band if you got a fresh stab wound.
And they pass a bottle of whiskey around and I have to go like, hey, guys, would you mind... you're not allowed to drink in here. My rehearsal space, anyway.
Oh yeah, guys, can we tone it down? I gotta be in bed at 9:30.
Exactly. So I joined a Dadgrass band, and we rehearse in a church.
Oh, there you go.
I'm lonely, you guys.
You know what? It's something. It's an outlet. Good for you.
It's eye contact.
I mean, that's good too. Interacting with the outside world. I don't do much of that. I'm not going to get into it. but good to have you, as always. This time we were actually smart and like booked you multiple months at a time, so I didn't have to worry about gaps between Tyler Kinney appearances, and it's going great. It's going so smooth. How about we start the GD program. Yes. I have to keep a PC around here.
Uh-oh.
Don't hurt the Lord's feelings with your material. Oh, he said the S. let's get the show going. It's segment one. It's reorganization. It's how we always start the show. Just deal with it. I think I've made it clear over the years how much I hate dumb text shorthand, especially the kind of shorthand that isn't even that short. Okay, sure. BCNU might be shorter to type than BCNU, but whatever you gain, whatever gain you make through typing seven less letters, you lose through having to explain to whoever you just messaged what it was you were trying to say in the first place with the same number of syllables. So really, what was even the point? I can't read with your screen, Bob. I'm gonna blame it on Bob, not my failing aging eyes.
God damn your charity, Bob.
Yeah, also, maybe the one thing you shouldn't hand me down. They're just always getting better and cheaper.
That's all right. I mean, wow. Nice nice income flex.
Yeah, I guess.
No, I'll get there. So what was the point, yes, of this dumbass acronym? And so in an effort to make anyone forget that someone at some point might have thought BCNU stood for BCNU. God, I hate saying it. I'm asking that you instead give us who or what else BCNU might stand for or represent to you. Nick, let's hear your BCNU.
All right. We all know that old fairy tales by the Grimm brothers and such have been cleaned up as they've been passed down from the generation to generation. Mm-hmm. As times change, so do societal norms, and the Bible itself has also undergone a sort of cleaning up over the ages. Not always for things that may be considered offensive either. All right? Like in the instance I'm about to go over, the censoring was more because modern readers found it anachronistic. In other words, it seemed too modern, just in case you didn't know what anachronistic means. You see, in the New Testament, it was common in Galilee for a Samaritan to approach another Samaritan he knew and to lay an open palm upon his brethren's open palm. And in kind, this brethren would turn his open palm and lay it under the other man's open palm, and together they would bring down the weight of their nothing upon the other as a way to acknowledge each other. You really need to give us more time to write these out. We might see this as slapping fives as such. I'm not going to demonstrate. I told myself demonstrate. And indeed, modern scholars thought that the mention of this common practice in the New Testament distracted from the message, so they cut it out. But in doing so, they cut out one of the most important messages from the Bible. When Jesus came down to Galilee, he rebuked this laying an open palm under another brother's open palm. He saw it as a representation of the power struggle inherent in capitalism. And as Jesus cleansed the temple of all ye who were buying and selling there, he also cleansed the practice of slapping a brother of five and instead offered this. This is from an edited out chapter of Matthew, Matthew 29, verse 1.
Oh, okay.
And I rebuke thee, whosoever layeth an open palm under another man's open palm. Instead, stand before your brother as you stand before Christ. And just as we were made in the image of God, layeth an open palm in the air towards him, and let him return in kind, and smacketh thine open palm as thee would smack Satan on the forehead, and together be favored by the Lord. And then Jesus, he turns to Peter, and they demonstrate the first high five on record. Basically, what he's saying is the regular way of giving fives is too basic and unworthy of a man with self-esteem. Hmm. A man who is supposed to be made in the image of God, he's saying, see God in your brother and reflect God back by offering thine palm on high, mm-hmm. not on the side as such, still not going to demonstrate, and not down low. Thus, the acronym BCNU, or BICNU, as it was pronounced in ancient Sumerian, mm-hmm. stands for Be Christ, Before Christ, Never Under. Yeah. And just a side note,
yes.
As time progressed, the NU was implied and it just became BC. Mm. These days, BC is thought to be a demarcation of time, but it was actually an instruction on how to give a high five, and it basically meant up top.
Oh, that's all right.
And that's all.
Nice. Thank you. Yes.
Really not offensive at all.
No, not at all. Beeth not too slow. Thank you, Nick.
Yeah.
We learn so much here. Mm-hmm.
If anything, I will Wikipedia the fuck out of whatever I'm going to write.
Hell yeah.
To the detriment of writing any jokes.
If only every time somebody had to use Wikipedia on this show, we gave them like a dollar, maybe we wouldn't get those emails anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Grant, hey there.
All right, so...
What? What have you got in way of... Thank you. What have you got in way of a BCNU?
So, Jesse, this one is close to my heart.
Okay.
I lived in the Pacific Northwest, Bellingham, Washington. It's 30 minutes from the Canadian border, so I'm well acquainted with British Columbia. Mm. So, to me, my BCNU is British Columbia Neighborly University. Go Puffins, eh? So, yeah, this is the premier Canadian, you know, collegiate institution, Neighborly University. You know, their frats are known for praising, not hazing. They want to make the new, you know, pledges feel comfortable in their environment. Instead of Jaeger bombs, they do Jaeger relief aid, where they donate money that would go to drinking to Red Cross. Instead of panty raids, they do panty assistance. They leave Victoria's Secret coupons in the mail at female dorms. You know, typical Canadian stuff, Canadian collegiate hijinks. They pull all-dayers. This is where they work a reasonable amount of time during the day and then go to bed at night at around 8 p.m. And then, of course, every time they score a touchdown, they do their famous chant, which is, sorry. And that is BCNU, British Columbia Neighborly University.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Oh, thank you, Grant. Oh. I wanted to sit here and riff on all the other wonderful Canadian things that you can do in a college. But
which is
won't.
Funny because my town like hated Canadians viciously. We
really?
Called them milk thieves.
Mm.
Yeah, because they would come to our mall and like buy milk in bulk in our Costco. There's a lot of hateful newspaper articles about Canadians.
What the hell?
Yeah, the nicest people.
Yeah, and I mean... Don't they have enough bags up there?
Yeah, right.
Shouldn't they be able to handle all the milk they need? Canadians get their milks in bags, from what I understand, and it bothers me. So I mention it all the time. thank you, Grant. I don't know. It may just be something that somebody said, but I've decided that is...
it's true.
Okay, good. That's all the corroboration I needed.
No, I lived there for a minute.
Oh.
But I think it's regional, like Eastern Canada... And everyone has a pitcher that they put the bag in to it's okay. No, it's a terrible system.
I mean, at least pitchering the bag makes sense, because otherwise, so are we pouring it willy-nilly out of it? Fucking Canada. Thank you again, Grant. Hey, Tyler, what might you have in way of a BCNU?
I turned off my air. I'm in the basement, and I turned off my air conditioner, the heater,
uh-huh.
And I was like, that'll take care of it. The water heater just kicked on. So if you hear son taking a bath, BCNU, because carnage never unites. It's a anti-machete fight public awareness campaign from the Philippines, because there's been a rash of machete disputes in rural areas. And now they have this campaign, and there's this slogan, and they have a machete mascot character that has like a frown, and he's missing his right arm at the elbow. And it's basically to address the point that machetes are both divisive to a community and divisive to a body. The double meaning is more obvious in the original Tagalog, but the gist is, talk it out, guys. Don't slash at the limbs of your neighbors.
Yeah.
Writer's note. In lieu of good ideas that stand on their own, I have included footnotes for my prompts. I was worried this would be inaccurate and xenophobic, so I Googled it, and mm-hmm. I found a YouTube video called, this is true, quote, Other Countries Machete Fights, Episode 1, The Philippines. So don't worry, it's accurate.
Oh,
it's xenophobic
good.
For sure, but it's accurate that they have enough machete fights that they're Episode 1 in the series.
Sure. Okay. I'm just glad that the xenophobia is accurate. thank you, Tyler. I sort of mean that. Segment 2. It's Stabtionary. We trotted out because you guys did most of the other segment 2s. So you're welcome. Words are really just humanity's way of assigning meaning to the weird little grunty sounds we make. And that absolutely means that literally anyone can make words. There. Just make a mouth noise and say that it stands for something. Boom! You're practically Merriam-Webster. So, in Stabjury, each of you have been given 7 random letters, including at least 2 vowels, from a string randomly generated by the random letter generator at randomwordgenerator.com. And you've been asked to rearrange them into a brand new word, then give us your definition of these new Stabjary words. So, let's hear what you got to add to the human mouthscape. Nick Coleman, you were given U-L-S-W-E-O-J. What's your Stabjary word?
All right. It is Jusuelo. And we will get right to that. J-U-S-W-E-L-O.
Yeah.
All right. You know that feeling you get when a foreign language has a word for something that your native tongue doesn't? Hmm. Like Germany has Schadenfreude to describe the happiness that you feel at others' misfortunes.
Sure.
And the Scots, yeah, they're a foreign language. The Scots have Tartle, which describes that panicky hesitation you get just before you introduce someone whose name you can't remember.
Ooh.
Yeah. When you hear great words like those, which perfectly sum up a feeling you felt before but had to use a ridiculous amount of words to describe, you may be feeling a twinge of jealousy, but also like your mind's opened up a bit. Then you also feel like your native tongue has been hiding things from you, boxing you off from a more expansive world of expression. Well, the Djerbati, who live on the island nation of Djerbati, have a word for that, which is surprising considering they're home to the least expressive language on the planet, also called Djerbati.
Sure.
So that feeling you occasionally get when you hear a cool word from another language that is not featured in your language, they experience that every fucking day. But instead of crying about it in a long-winded answer to a prompt for a comedy show, they just shrug and say, Jusuelo, which means that feeling, ... because their language doesn't have enough words to finish the description.
Sure.
Literally translated as... It's a visual joke for everyone.
That's all right. Those play great on the podcast.
Should have been there.
Thank you,
Killer.
Nick.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, well done. Well done. Hey, Grant. Let's see. What were you given? I tried really hard. I refreshed a bunch, guys. You wouldn't believe all the Z's and X's I saved you guys from. So these were the best that I could do for you. Grant, you got LTYWOSA.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, is an anagram for Wotsley. And Wotsley, pronounced like Whoa, Oatsley. Much like the song Boop, Boop, Whoa. Wotsley is when you're disturbingly horny towards the Quaker Oats man.
Mm. Sure.
Now, this has never happened to me, of course. No. But some people, when they're minding their own business in the breakfast aisle, they catch a case of Wotsley. This is when they notice that the kindly, fatherly eyes staring directly into them from the Quaker Oats man.
Mm.
Now, of course, if I happened to get Wotsley, I would grab the round cylinder of oats with both hands, and I'd tell the Quaker man that while he's trying to commune with God directly, I want to commune with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'd like to push his little white neckerchief to the side and run my fingers across his broad chest, which of course contains a healthy heart due to the cholesterol-reducing oats that he eats. And though he follows pacifist ideals, I want him to blow my back out and treat me like an object, conscientiously. And that while he believes in total equality under God, there should be no ministry or no one should call him father, I'm going to call him daddy.
Yeah.
And so that sort of describes the feeling of Wotsley that you might get in the supermarket. Hypothetically, of course.
Just completely a complete hypothetical.
Yes, I've heard.
Never happened to anyone that I know.
No.
Specifically not 2 or 3 people on this stage time. It's never. It's ridiculous that you'd even say that. Thank you, Grant. And Tyler, let's round out our new word knowledge with your Stabjary word. You've got F-G-I-P-A-A-I. A lot of vowels.
That, Gaiapith. It's a noun, and it's a term for when a volcano erupts and fills the sky with cinder and ash. And then there's, you know, like definitions go 1, and then there's 2 because there's other definitions.
Sure.
The number 2 is also used to describe a fart in a yoga class. Writer's note, this joke only works if you imagine piff as an onomatopoeia meaning fart.
Sure.
And I think I heard it used that way once. But I don't use it that way. I'm not even sure it's a word. But this prompt is like a riddle from a murderous clown that would make you solve it to escape a shipping container. So I had to do something to survive.
Yeah. Oh. We're getting so much insight into the panelists' minds today. No, we absolutely got Piff. We got it. That was onomatopoeia at its finest.
There was a website back in the day before SoundCloud for like underground rap, I think, called datpiff.com.
Oh, well, shit. There you
which
go.
Which now I know means thatfart.com. Of course.
Yeah. Retroactively, you were listening to that part. And you loved it. Segment three, it's Breakfast of Champions. We're trotting out all sorts of prompts that we don't normally because you guys, you had just tackled all of the regulars. So we got Breakfast of Champions. Sugary cereal is both delicious and nutritious if hyperactive cartoon mascots are to be believed, and they are. But the world of breakfast cereal is weirdly limited nowadays. It used to be that you could make a breakfast cereal themed after any situation and just kind of convince the world that that made any sense whatsoever. Or at least that's how we at STAB remember it. Which is why we bring you Breakfast of Champions. In Breakfast of Champions, you're asked to give us the packaging, applicable mascots, slogans, and nutritional information for a breakfast cereal branded around the following particular things or concepts. So go on! Fill my morning bowl with your madness. Shit. I forgot who I was giving this to. So this is gonna work wonderfully. Nick Coleman.
Yeah.
I actually have been looking forward to hearing your breakfast cereal themed around an unexamined life.
Socrates once said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." We here at General Mills tend to agree. That's why you won't find cereal in a box of Soccer Wheaties. In fact, you won't find anything you're not willing to put into it. It's up to you to fill that box with a life worth more than $14.99 and some diabetes. I don't know how much cereal is. And on the back of each box, you'll find a picture of Socrates staring you down, judging your life choices. His eyes will follow you everywhere you go in the room, even after you close them. Soccer Wheaties, you figure it out.
Thank you, Nick Coleman.
You're welcome.
That's where the edit goes. thank you. Hey, Grant, what do you have in way of a breakfast cereal themed around freeganism?
Yes. So, quick forward is that I read these and did them one at a time, and I probably wouldn't have done a whole chunk on the Quaker Oats Man if I'd known the next prompt was about breakfast cereal.
Oh, sure.
But it had been too late.
That's
for
all
me.
Right.
It was too
right.
late. So anyways, mine is on freeganism, you know, the concept of avoiding buying food to protest, you know, the unequal food system. So my cereal is called Day Old Crunch. And so this is food. It's made into food-like pellets from leftover Tupperware from your office, leftover the weekend. Various garbage disposals and dumpsters, of course.
Sure.
Most of the food wasn't intended to be crunchy, but it's the result of over-oxygenation. And these will be sold next to dumpsters, and you don't have to pay for them per se. You just have to prove that you've read the entirety of the Jacobian Socialist Online Newsletter. I don't know how to pronounce it.
It's all right.
No payment is required, comrade. Yeah. And of course, the packaging will just be an old thank you for having a nice day takeout bag. The mascot. Now, this is a lot of fun. This is Greg Food Gainus. He's modeled after Olympic high diver Greg Louganis. In the ads, much like the, you know, the bunny or whatever from Cereal, he's always, who's the Cookie Crisp? The ones that are evading the police. Anyways,
oh, yeah.
He's jumping from extreme, Greg Food Gainus jumps from extreme heights, and capitalist pigs are always laying obstacles in his path, like heating and other creature comforts, but he avoids them. And he contorts his body beautifully every time to get into the dumpster right before the lid closes. And when it opens back up, you can see he's gorged himself on half-eaten banana and day-old bread. He holds up a sign that says 10 for the Olympics, and he says it's as good as ethically sourced gold. Ultimately, this will become a subsidiary of General Mills and is a false flag operation designed to identify leftists and co-opt them back into a life of creature comforts. Mm. And that is Day Old Crunch.
Yeah. Thank you. Oh. It, as with every idea like that, it starts off with a positive message.
Yes. Before the man always gets a taste.
Always. Thank you, Grant. Tyler.
Hey.
I was worried for a second after I gave this one to you that you mentioned at some point you actually started doing this. So I don't know. I don't think this is the case. But let's hear your breakfast cereal themed around taking karate classes in your 40s.
This is unrelated, but the first sentence I wrote was, "This prompt feels like a direct fuck you to me." But I just meant because it's like a breakfast cereal that's also the concept of taking karate classes when you're 40. It's a nearly impenetrable logic puzzle. But lucky for you guys, I love to penetrate.
Yeah.
So here's a bunch of names for the cereal that I didn't use. Fruity Palm Strikes, Lucky Harms, Chocos, Corn Slaps, Toasted Throats, Fisted Flakes. And instead, I intentionally used the worst one I came up with. Special K Roddy. That's the product. And I take you now to a dingy apartment. A man sits at a kitchenette in a camping chair. He is unblinkingly eating cereal. He wears a too tight karate gi. The camera pushes in while he mutters mantras with his mouth full. Let your size be your weapon. Let your age be your edge. And then the narrator says, "Sure, a Vietnam vet in a strip mall taught you all the moves you need to deal with an assailant, provided they are 12 years old and mentally dulled from watching Fortnite streamers. But will you have the energy to compete? Will you have the fuel to not further shame yourself? Introducing Special K Roddy, the official cereal of the Over 40 Black Belt Certification Committee. You will be the victor. Women will notice and approve. Those Jack Harlow flip cup fucks won't know what hit them, but their parents wincing through the storefront window will. You check the rule book, and it's vague at best. So you fight kids in a strip mall, and it's cathartic, you tell yourself. You're a few years and several thousands of dollars away from a black belt, just hoping your ACL can hang on long enough so you can roundhouse enough tweens to advance. Let Special K Roddy be your fight fuel to strike back at a world that you struck out at. Divorce? Palm strike. Air mattress? Spin kick. Your own children have to be told to hug you? Leg sweep. Those girls at Little Caesars made fun of your ear flakes? Toe stomp. Special K Roddy, you might not have the eye of the tiger. It may be the dull stare of a dairy cow, but that will only make the violence that ensues that much more terrifying. Special K Roddy, the official cereal of middle-aged men that want to acquire a black belt because they wrongfully believe it will change them in the minds of their ex-wives. And if some kids can never do the floss again, so be it.
Okay. I was holding for more footnotes, but no.
No, I started with it.
Yeah. It was preface this time. Oh, well done. I'm sorry, and well done. Thank you, guys. On to segment 4. It's dating profiles. Human mating rituals are weird. Most of it is just us convincing ourselves that someone we just happened to meet and get along with for a few minutes was our forever meant to be soulmate. I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. But whatever helps you sleep at night. And here at STAB, we think dating should be slightly more complicated and much more demeaning. Thus, dating profiles. In dating profiles, you're asked to create the dating profiles for the following persons, places, things, or whatnots. I noticed I did misspell this. I hope you got the gist of it, though. Nick Coleman, let's hear your dating profile for a carton of Marlboro Reds.
If you read that onomatopoeic opening line correctly, then it sounded like the lighting and inhaling of a damn fine cigarette. Not just any old tobacco off the shelf either, but a Marlboro Red. Mm. That's right. The most well-hung cigarette there is. Intrigued? I know you are. Well, I got good news and I got bad news. The good news? I'm a whole carton of well-hung Marlboro Reds, and I can deploy them one at a time or even three at a time until your sexual appetites have been smoked to the filter. That's just how anatomy, the anatomy of an anthropomorphic carton of cigarettes works. Mm. In case you're new to anthropomorphicmingle.com. And now the bad news. The Surgeon General says I might cause cancer, but I am STD free. Anyway, a little more about me. I like long inhales on the beach. My favorite color is yellow. And my favorite movie is Harley Davidson and the Marlboro Man.
Sure.
Never before has an actor gotten as close to the essence of a carton of Marlboro Reds as Don Johnson does in the titular role of the Marlboro Man. Titular. Mm-hmm. Also, I like Italian. There's nothing cigarette-related about that. It's just a damn fine cuisine.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
Likes what he likes.
Never thought of a cigarette being well hung before.
Yeah. Well, you're welcome. We introduce a lot of thoughts around here that you may or may not have ever wanted. Thank you, Nick. Hey, Grant. Hey, how about your completely polar opposite dating profile? Let's hear your dating profile for a golden retriever.
Hi, my name is Chance. I'm a good boy in the streets and a bad boy in heat. I'm 31 inches from snoot to tail, which in human height is above 6 feet tall. You sniff my butt, and I'll sniff yours. And if I like your scent, I might just take you homeward bound. I'm looking to have fun. I'm just looking to have fun, okay? Don't ask me to stay. The puppy in my profile is my nephew. BDSM friendly. You bring the leash, I'll bring the electric shock collar.
Ooh.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time. About 10 to 13 years. Don't swipe right if you're a rescue. No trauma, no drama. Hashtag shop, don't adopt.
God damn it.
And that's all.
Oh, thank you. Good. He's a good boy. But a bad boy. Thank you, Grant. Oh, gosh darn it. Bothered me in so many ways. and Tyler, I don't know. Feels like it's possible I could have done this at some point. Who knows? But let's hear your dating profile for a taxidermist. Oh, I just realized I did that after the golden retriever. That's not good.
10 to 13 years.
Oh, sure.
Hey there, females of my species and phylum. I'm just your average pelt slinger looking to find a mount. I'm just a down-home guy looking for a down-home woman who's okay with being down and home. Literally, I'm depressed and shut in. And that'll have to be okay with you. I have been accused of stuffing down my emotions. That's a joke, but seriously, I have some issues that I'll die without addressing. I've removed the skins of so many of God's creations that I don't feel I deserve to be in the Lord's sunlight. Oh, yeah, you must be able to go out in the sunlight for me. Looks aren't important, but I am seeking a lady with a good blink. Most of the eyes I see are plastic and shoved inside a deer carcass, so you gotta be a good blinker, a few times a day, minimum. Must have a nice coat of fur or hair or feathers. I'm really not picky at this point. I'm a depressed shut-in who removes the skins of unnecessarily killed animals so maniacs can show other maniacs the things they robbed their life of. Writer's note. This is just, I just wanted to tell this story.
Okay.
When I graduated high school, they like made you fill out a form to say what your major was going to be in college. And I didn't know. So I just wrote taxidermy as a goof. Mm-hmm. And then on the day of graduation, they made everyone stand up and they announced what their major was going to be. And they said, Tyler Kinney, majoring in taxidermy. And my mom was like mortified, whatever. But then some guy came up to me and said, I work at a taxidermist. He was so sincere. And he said, I work at a taxidermist. Like, I could get you in. You don't even need to go to college. You could I could get you. And I was like, oh, and I didn't want to oh, that was a joke because I think what you do is fucking funny. So I just said, oh, and then I saw him on a plane and I pretended not to know him.
Oh, wonderful. Oh, the writer's notes have run the gambit of,
but like I said, they're only there because it was like a busy week and I don't have good ideas. Like, I don't feel confident that anything I'm saying is standing on its own.
Oh no, you're doing
even that sentence.
You're doing just fine. Well done, everybody. Oh, and just like that, all the gosh darn sudden, we're on segment five. We're almost done. And it's another one that I have pulled out of mothballs. It's please explain it to me. Existence is funny. Not in a ha-ha way. Oh, God, no. But in a, oh, God, that's really how the world actually works? Why hasn't anybody done anything about that kind of way? And in explain it to me, you've all been asked to explain a couple things to the following things. What could be simpler? Almost anything else? Yes, you're right. But let's do it anyway. Nick Coleman, you've been asked to explain joy to me. I am a set of cubicle walls.
If I know anything about cubicle walls, it's that your sensory organs are on the inside of the cubicle.
Oh. Yeah.
Your whole world is watching others pretend to work while they surf the internet and surreptitiously scroll through their phones down in their laps. You know only the tiny little world of an office worker. Is there joy in that? Not for the cubicled employee who knows of a greater world beyond, such as the corner office that gets natural sunlight all day long. Are you familiar with Plato's allegory of the cave? No, why would you? Your cubicle walls. And I'm not going to explain the allegory to you because of this. You don't know what you don't know. And that, my friend, is joy. So it seems it's been within you the whole time. Cubicle walls cackle like a madman. We pull back to reveal the doorway has vanished and Nick is now surrounded by one continuous cubicle wall. Nick composes himself. He's not ready to panic. There is one more thing I know about cubicle walls. Cubicle walls. Your inventor, Robert Probst, on his deathbed in 2000 said that his greatest regret in life was the invention of you. How does that feel? Knowing that your creator regrets creating you?
Oh, no.
The cubicle walls begin to shake. While your creator may have forgotten creating you, it wasn't because you were a failure. No, it was because you did your job too well. You're an apex predator, sucking the joy out of little cubicle workers who willingly walk into you. You want me to explain joy to you while you literally feed on my soul? Well, try this on for size. Cubicle walls looks down to see Nick holding a power drill with a Phillips head on it, pointed at the last remaining screw holding his walls up. Cubicle walls collapse around him. No! Oh. Nick stands victorious. Then his boss walks up. What the fuck is going on? This is coming out of your paycheck. I think you're forgetting something. His boss looks down to see the power drill pointed at the last remaining screw holding his human mask intact over his lizard body. His boss's skin falls off and his lizard body dries up under the fluorescent lights. Nick walks off into the sunset, and for the first time in a long time, he feels joy.
Oh, wow. Award-winning screenwriter. Oh, thank you. If they know that it's so easy to just de-skin them and they'll dry up under the fluorescence, why do they do it? Why do the lizard people do it? Oh, Nick. Your War of the Worlds being killed by rain loop plot hole is just...
just a common cold.
Oh, thank you, Nick Coleman. Hey, where can people get more Nick Coleman in their life? Should they choose such a thing?
At Nick's... Tommy, I forget my own YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I just spilled the mic. Somewhere on YouTube is Nick Makes Movies. Mm. I believe it's at Nick's Movies. You can do like a little at symbol now.
Yeah.
First Read Radio is a podcast that does the ear movies. Besides me, they have just like a ton of like really good short screenplays. You can listen to them like anywhere from 13 to 15 minutes. They're not that long.
Yeah.
Lots of good stuff going on. And they're a little slow in their production, but they are coming out with the second season a little bit by bit. And lots of cool ear movies. And you should submit to them, too, if you're a writer. Or, you know, they're looking for funny stuff all the time. Although they do every genre. And then that's it. That's all I got.
Well, heck, maybe because I don't have enough going on, maybe I've got another outlet that I need to start throwing stuff at those guys.
Yeah, do it.
I'll neglect like 90% of what goes on around here and chase my own cubicle joy. thank you, Nick Coleman. So good. Hey, Grant. Yeah, most of the words were there. I'm pretty sure you got it. Again, truncated by phone typing on my lunch break. Grant, let's hear your explanation of the fundamental laws of the universe. Explain those to me. I'm a guy with studded and bedazzled flaps on the back pockets of his jeans.
But of course, general relativity, the law of thermodynamics, quantum mechanics, all things I ran out of time to research and then make funny. So, but does it matter? No, really, does it matter? Because I remember my pre-calculus teacher saying that I would definitely find cosine, sine, and I think tan. Is it tangent?
Tangent, yeah.
Yeah, is it tan? Mm-hmm. Useful in my life.
Yeah.
I don't remember what they do. I don't even remember basically what they do. So I think a lot of these concepts don't affect the average man. I think you can live your life without knowing quantum mechanics. I don't need to explain it to you, but what you do need to know, Jesse,
yes,
it's the law of the streets. And what are these laws? Let me count them. Like please. Dua Lipa said, these are the rules. Let me count them. No money, no honey, Jesse. That's okay. One rule of the universe.
Sure. That's
okay,
like,
you've got to pay up. Number two, loose lips sink ships. Sure. Okay, don't go telling people. Number three, snitches get stitches. There's a lot of laws about not telling on people. That's the third law of the universe.
Yeah.
Of course, number four is no pain, no gain.
Mm.
Law of the universe.
Sure.
And then the fifth, and of course, most important, write it on the tablet, Moses. Yeah. Ass, cash, or grass. Nobody rides for free.
No. Yeah.
And that's how the streets work, Jesse. That's all you need to know.
Well, that's all that guy needs to know.
Oh, I thought it was you describing yourself. Do you have bedazzled jeans?
I want them.
Okay.
I want them very much.
I was picturing you the whole time.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I've never felt cooler.
Because that guy
knows exactly who he is.
And Jesse with some apple bottom jeans or some True Religions.
I've wanted to find some of those wonderful, wonderful jeans, and your foil printed, like wing shirts and all. It's I want those because I want to be that guy.
Oh yeah. You're not like the Jersey Shore shirts, like Ed Hardy's.
I mean, yeah, mostly Ed Hardy. Yeah. I want to be that guy one night, like out in the desert. That's gonna be my outfit for the night. I'm just gonna be that guy.
Yeah.
Going to all the sound camps and just believing it.
Yeah.
Living it. I want to be that guy.
One day.
Thank you. I'm glad that you believe I could do that.
Yeah, man. Like that one time you dressed up as a luchador and just stood in the corner of a wrestling match and stared down all the real wrestlers.
That was a thing that happened.
That was hilarious.
Just waiting for a strike or something?
Yeah. Just you got to be ready. You got to be prepared. Always be prepared.
Scabbing the...
If you've got the mask, you always have to be prepared. Hey, Grant. How can people get more Grant Potter where they work in
Bath? Yeah, you can come here either Fridays or Saturdays.
I believe it's the second Saturday.
Thank you. Second Saturday. Yeah. One Paul Improv wrestling show. And then it's followed by Scene Kids, which I'm not in, but it's a great doubleheader here. So second Saturday. Uh-huh. Come back to Stab. Come find me.
Well, happy to have you, as always. Glad we worked out all of the scheduling hijinks.
Oh, yeah.
It was worth it. Hey, Tyler, what wholesome, well-lit bar are we going to be able to find you playing upright bass in soon?
It's like a corporate gig we have.
Oh, shit. You actually have?
Yeah, for like a nonprofit that like helps kids with horses. It's the most wholesome. So,
hell yeah.
You can find me there in Longmont, Colorado. You guys are all in Longmont, Colorado.
Well, we all now have a reason to be there.
I mean, they got good Mexican food, but I mean, you could skip it. You guys are in California.
Well, yeah, I guess we do have that going for us. Well, cool. And there's also a SoundCloud that is not promoted, but you can find it somehow. I'm not sure. Hey, Tyler, let's wrap up this gosh darn program. Let's hear what you've got. Sure.
It just occurred to me. I do have a plug.
Oh.
I met this banjo player in the Dadgrass band, and his wife is a dog trainer.
Okay.
And she put out a video of her dog. It's, you go to Colorado_OTTO Auto, okay. Colorado Auto. And it's him barking at something and his butthole is barking at the same time. Right? Silly. 32 million views. I met this guy. I've never met like a viral video source.
Wow.
But this guy has a 32 million views on his dog's butthole. Anyway.
Oh. And then, we've been doing this for 11 years. Almost 400 episodes. Hey, Tyler, let's wrap up this gosh darn program. Please explain the afterlife to me. I'm an unopened case of Twinkies that's been in a bomb shelter since the 1950s.
So you got questions about the afterlife. Let me spin my chair around and level with you. Okay, the afterlife. Well, I'm glad it's just not a question about sex, because then I'd have to fuck you. Because I'm more of a visual teacher, and you're a cream-filled snack that's basically begging for it. Besides eating you, what possible use could you have? Anyway, I saw a video of a chimp masturbating with a frog. And if you think that chimp is going to hesitate... what's happening right now, it's Planet of the Ape rules. I'm an evolved chimp talking to a case of Twinkies. Mm-hmm. And my point is that every Twinkie in this box could get fucked and no one could stop me because I'm an evolved chimp in this scenario.
Sure.
But your question was about the afterlife. It's where creatures go when they die. It's great. All the people you love are there. Your dead pets are there. And ice cream, whatever you want is there. And that's the easy part. The hard part is you, because you're still here and you'll never experience the sweet release of death because the very humans that would have delivered it got selfish and hogged all the death for themselves. So you'll never die. And unless I let a bunch of chimps fuck you to death, you'll be shelf stable for millennia. And then eventually you'll fossilize like dinosaur shit, coprolite. They gave dinosaur shit fossilized the name. And why not? Why not name the layer of Twinkies that dot the geologic record? Writer's note. I don't know, guys. I'm an adult and I have a child and he woke up at 4 a.m. today and then I have a house guest. And that's why I'm not in that room right there.
Okay.
Because she's sleeping? No, she's not here. So I wrote everything as fast as possible, and I love you all. And this is the one time that my wife doesn't have a problem with me drinking and shouting in the basement. Thanks for having me, Jesse.
Of course. Glad to give you that one joy. And the Snap Show is over. Thank you for joining us tonight. And, of course, a very special thank you to our amazing panel, Nick Coleman, Grant Potter, and Tyler Kenny. Now, let's say you liked the hell out of what you just ear witnessed. Well, you're in luck because you can be part of the Stab Show live as it happens every Friday night at 7:30 p.m., either in person at Stab Comedy Theater or from the comfort of your own home on stabtv.com or twitch.tv/stabcomedy. Or if you'd like to take the Stab Show on the go with you, just subscribe to us via your preferred podcast provider, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or even the Good Pods app. But that's all we got for you tonight. So until next time, I've been your host, Jesse Jones, thanking you for spending any amount of time with us over the last 11 years. And here's to, oh, I don't know, let's say 89 more. Good night.